This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He is under center, and he's going to fake it to Elliott and step up and go deep. Oh, he's got Lamb down the left side. He got pushed, and he reached up and caught the ball at the 45-yard line of San Francisco.
KNC Masterpiece back here in on 105.3 The Fan.
What a pass.
It was underthrown, but what a catch from CeeDee Lamb. We're going to ask the question, was this Cowboys season a success? 877-881-1053, but also...
Let's give something away!
All right!
You can also call in at 877-881-1053 for a four-pack of tickets to the Texas Rangers Fan Fest, which is going down Saturday. You'll get a chance to get autographs from Rangers players and alumni, run the bases, test your arm in the bullpen, go deep in the wiffle ball, home run derby, and much, much more. You can buy tickets at rangers.com/fanfest, or you can win them for free right now. Caller number 10 gets that four-pack, 877-881-1053. Now,
that gave San Francisco the NFC Championship game. That's pretty impressive.
Who gives stuff away better, us or Dak?
Dak.
Okay. We will be doing that giveaway all...
And he gets paid way more to do
that
it.
Yeah, this year he definitely
true.
Is good at giving things away.
We will be doing that giveaway all week long.
Did you see the Cowboys website headline on that, by the way?
No.
Let me see if I can find this real quick, because it's along the lines of... Dak Prescott gives away two balls like in the game, and like
wow.
The headline was pretty damning. And I think Bobby Belt. Let me go find this real quick, Kevin.
As I think it should be. So, my question for y'all is, and I am honestly, I think it will lean more towards no, but I'm not quite positive about that because. From the 817, considering after week one with the terrible loss and Dak getting hurt, everyone thought the season was over. So I would say it was a success because no one thought we would even make the playoffs this year. And then you see more from like the 417. How can you call this season a success when we just keep coming up with the same BS results year after year? From the 903, once we traded Amari and Lyle and Tyron got hurt, everyone assumed we wouldn't be around 500. And that's why... I have complicated feelings about this because last night I would have been like, hell no, it's not a success because I was upset about the loss in a game that I thought you absolutely should have won. But you go back to the beginning of the year, there was not a lot of optimism about the Cowboys making the playoffs. And that person is right, or those people are right, with the moving off of Amari Cooper, Lyle Collins, Randy Gregory, two of which those were clearly the right move. I know people are still not happy about Amari Cooper. And then Tyron gets hurt, and then Dak gets hurt in the first game, and you get blown out. I know it was 19-3. It felt like they lost by 35 points. And I think if you go back to that point, everyone would have been thrilled to get here. But that's not what we're dealing with right now, because this looked like a team that could maybe make a run.
Yeah, it's, I mean, what do you define as a success?
And that's the thing.
Is what we kind of have to, you know, all argue about here.
Because everyone's going to be different, don't you think?
Well, if you wanted to have a good season, you had a good season.
You did.
You overcame adversity. You overcame it. You had the opportunity, though, Kevin. I think here's where I'll say the season was a failure.
Okay.
Not because they didn't make and win the Super Bowl. Because you had the opportunity to beat the team that knocked you out last year. That's where I think the season is a failure. You had that chance. You talked about it. You did. You prepared for this. You fought all year for it. You wanted, like, from, I go back to this. Mike and I were sitting there. Every interview we did that Kevin wasn't there for, every interview we did,
I remember,
Mike,
that Kevin not being there thing.
These guys were talking about what San Francisco did, and they wanted the opportunity to show it again. The defense did. Like, I really do. I think the defense was, they did show up for that moment.
They deserved a win.
The defense did. But they didn't win. And that's the thing, that's where it's a failure, because that's what the moment you were waiting for. That's what you were trying to get to. I know they want, they say championship, Super Bowl, and all that stuff. They want to get in the big game. But it was more about San Francisco than anything else. That would, beating Tom Brady was cool. Getting the playoff win was cool. They got, you know, Dak got a monkey off his back in that one. Everybody continued to talk about. But guess what? That monkey jumped right back on after this game. So therefore, this was not a successful season. Was it a good season? The season was good. The regular season was fascinating. Man, we thought we were going to be done for the year.
All right.
But it wasn't a successful season.
I'm prepared, Mike. I'm prepared to get crushed on this. Like, I get it. I do. I'm going to say that this season was a success.
Wow.
I know. But
you're going to Charmin me too, because I agree.
But I think
I don't like the way that sounds.
If you're, I think if you're judging off of the reality of the last generation, as opposed to the idealistic way this team could be, I understand why people say failure. I say success. It's been 15 years since you made the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. Just think about this. 15 years since you made the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. You did that. It's been, I believe, 26 years since you had 10 or more wins in back-to-back seasons. You did that. You finally won a postseason game on the road for the first time in 30 years. So you broke streaks of 15 years, 26 years, 30 years. I will say that this season was a success. Did it end where I wanted it to? Hell no. But in modern, this generation Cowboys performances, this is a great season for the Cowboys. I get it. I lived through those 90s Super Bowls too. Based on the best it can be, this is a failure. But you haven't been there in a really long time. This is a successful Cowboys season.
I think after looking at the team going into the season and them being able to play 12-5 football, having the Dak injury and going 4-1 with a backup quarterback, winning a playoff game on the road. I know it was against a bad team, but they did beat them. The Tampa Bay Bucs won that division. That's the team you had to play, and you destroyed them. Now, I think it's as far as you'll ever go, as long as Dak Prescott's the quarterback of this team. I think this is the peak. The Super Bowl is the divisional round. I think it's going to be very tough with Dak Prescott being your quarterback to ever get further than making the divisional round and winning a playoff game in the wild card round. But I do see this as a successful season. Unfortunately, I can't ever predict they can get any further than this with Dak Prescott. You'd have to have like a major injury. Like, you know, a team that's a good team would have to be like on their third string quarterback, and you kind of...
I see what you're doing, Mike. That's what just happened.
Oh, well, then maybe this is the ceiling of the Dak Prescott Dallas Cowboys. But it was overall, it was a good year. You played well over 500. You were the third best team in the NFC.
And one of the six best teams in the NFL, and nobody can change my mind about that.
Yeah, Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Kansas City on their side. And then the two teams that are playing in the NFC Championship and you. I think those were the six best teams. You were probably sixth out of the six teams, but you were one of the six best teams in the NFL.
I thought Tony Romo made a good point when he was talking about the games going into Sunday. He was like, the teams that lost on Saturday, those were probably the two teams that least belonged in this group, in the Jags, in the Bills, at least for this season. So I get it, Corey, and I'm not trying to be a weak-ass fan, but I understand what the expectations are here. Just the more reasonable expectations are that this was a success. From the 817, the Cowboys haven't won S in almost 30 years. The notion that it's Super Bowl or bust, it shows the stupidity of Cowboys fans. I think that's too harsh, because I think that's fans almost everywhere. It's like, that's why everyone's like, you go into spring training, everyone's excited for baseball or whatever. It's like, you know, in the back of your mind, like, this probably ain't the year, but your expectations are there. I don't think Cowboys fans are unique in that. It might be unique in terms of how far you have to go for it to be a success.
What did you learn this year about this team?
I told you I thought that this season and this postseason was going to be probably my bottom line on who and what Dak is. And who and what Dak is I still believe, I'll prepare to get crushed again, I still believe you can win a Super Bowl with Dak, but you have to have a stacked roster to do so. And my mind can no longer be changed. Dak is not elite and will not be elite. He's still good. I still absolutely think he's good, but he's not going to be...
There's a difference between elite and
for
good.
Sure. And I wonder if Buffalo has the same questions about Josh Allen. I'm not saying they're the same, but I wonder if Buffalo has the same questions about Josh Allen today. But because there is a select group of elite quarterbacks and Dak's not in it, and I feel certain about that. I also feel certain that I want to keep Dan Quinn and that this defense is still a damn fine defense.
I think, Mike, I learned that the identity of this team and the culture of this team for the next 5-8 years, depending on how contracts go, is Micah. Like that's the identity of this team that's going to lead to success. And you got to have everybody kind of vying the way that he does for things, approaching the game the way that he does. And if you don't have a quarterback that can play at that level, he's going to be pointing. Like, I feel like fingers will be pointed at some point. Now, that's not that he's going to be going, hey, that guy. But there's going to be this, hey, man, we're keeping up our end of the bargain. What's going on here? And that's going to happen. So I think the identity of this team, that's the one thing that I learned. Because I didn't learn that you're better than San Francisco.
Nope.
I didn't learn that you are a team that can compete with the top four teams in the NFL right now. That's something that I don't like.
I like what both of you are saying, because maybe the future to the Cowboys being more successful in the playoffs is building around Micah and not building around Dak. Look, Dak had Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb last year. With 10 minutes to go in the game, they had 7 points.
Yeah.
So you had, if it's like, God, Amari Cooper should have been there, and yeah, he kind of could have maybe helped. Last year at home, you had 7 points in 50 minutes of football with Amari Cooper and with CeeDee Lamb on the field. I get CeeDee Lamb has become better, and Amari would have probably been about the same. But at the same time, I don't think you can give Dak enough to then make him a premium quarterback. I think you have to ease back Dak and go, if we're going to do anything on offense, we're going to try to build up the offensive line as great as we can get, and we're going to have a Derrick Henry-like offense. And we're going to have to tell Dak, don't turn over the effing football, because we're going to stack this team with a whole bunch of defensive players to try to do defensive and running game winning football.
Which, for the record, if you look back at the best season of Tony Romo's career, which I know the counter argument was still ended in the divisional round, is him taking care of the football and leaning on the running game led to an amazing 2014 for Tony Romo. And I've also seen a lot of people who are like, I learned that Romo and Dak are the same. And I know that infuriates people on one side or another, but from the 214, this is what I continue to go back to, is a success but disappointing. You know, like that, both of those things can be true. It can be a success, but still disappointing. And from the 817, this is actually more even than I would have guessed. From the 409, good season. From the 817, we all thought this team would be below 500. From the 903, depends on how you look at it. I only had them winning 9 games. There's a lot coming in like that. Although, the flip side is from the 832, absolutely a failure, 27 years on the books. From the 214, playoffs is what matters, failure. It's closer than I thought. I thought it was going to be maybe 80-20 failure, and it's closer to 60-65 failure to 35-40%
success. Here we're more successful, unless Reggie wants to make it 50-50. I say success. Kevin says success. Corey says failure. Reggie says
successful season.
I'm not going to get mad and argue about it. You had a good season. If you wanted to defeat the demon that you lived with all season, you did not do that.
Yeah,
So you're kind of in the same spot you were in last year.
And I think we all feel like a win.
So now we got to cut. We got to trade our best receiver. You let go of one of our offensive linemen, and then let go, and then
we'll
screw
move
up our contract with another guy.
And then we'll move one step further.
Is there any way we can all get a parade going down Corey Street to throw a parade for this season? where he have
then
music.
He'll get mad. Dude, he'll stock up on the tomatoes and stuff.
Adrian and Lucy love parades. So, like, I'll be out there. I'll be forced to be out there, but I'll be out there.
Guys. Maybe we'll get Maurer to come.
Joe Maurer or Brett Maher?
I'm honestly not sure which one he wants out there.
On the Twitch chat, Troy Ferg 15 says, this is not the kind of negativity I tune into the show for, gentlemen.
That's a fair point. The other reason it's a success, I've seen a couple of people saying beating a crappy Tampa team does not make this season a success. I agree. I told you up and down last week, Tampa Bay sucks. But I watched a game where you belonged on the field with San Francisco. Despite the margin of victory from last year and this year, I did not look at that last year's game and be like, you're the same as San Francisco. I looked at yesterday's game and been like, you're just as good as San Francisco. Though clearly they're moving on and you're not.
This is from Dallas Cowboys, right?
I don't know what you're about to say.
Yeah, here it is, Kevin. Here's the headline. This is on their Twitter. Dak Prescott gave away the ball twice in the narrow loss to the Niners. In a matchup, the Cowboys had a chance to win if they didn't again generate self-inflicted wounds. Very honest.
Yeah.
I mean, DallasCowboys.com tends to be, like, pretty honest.
I mean, when Broadus was there, he told us all the time, right? Hey, they give me the freedom to be honest about things. Just interesting how they...
Is it different? Because the Dallas Mavericks, but Mavericks, unbelievably great in loss to the Clippers, 112-98. You're like, I don't think they were great, Dallas Mavericks Twitter, but they're like, no, you should have seen these three highlights. Just forget about the whole game.
And I promise for the people that are mad at me or us, I get it. I'm going to read you all of these. There's six texts from the 816. Hell no is not a success. You're part of the problem, Kevin. Are you not tired of mediocrity, Kevin? Hell no is not a success. Are you not tired of mediocrity, Kevin? I'm ashamed y'all are happy with mediocrity. I'll take it one step further, and I will say going 12-5 and being one of the last eight teams, that's not mediocrity. Like, I hear what you're saying, that you still didn't win the championship. You are one of the better teams in the league. I get it. If you don't win the champ, if you ain't first, you're last. And if that's the line of thinking, I understand.
I always knew it was Kevin's fault.
I would say most of the people that are really upset right now by June or July will feel like the Cowboys have the best team in the history of football. And Jerry will back it up by at his press conference in Oxnard. This will be the greatest team he's ever seen in his life since last year and the year before that and the year before that.
Hold on, Mike. Are you saying next year's our year?
Next year's it. You just wait.
Oh, my God.
Just remember, Cowboy fans, this is usually the worst moment of being a Cowboys fan. It happens every year. It's going to happen next year, too, and the year after that.
Okay, don't
just
tell
remember,
me that part.
June through August is the best time ever to be a Cowboys fan.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And for everyone that is mad, or maybe you're just happy, either way, it is fine. 877-881-1053. Now is your chance. We will be taking phone calls. What do you got to get off your mind without swearing about the Cowboys today? 877-881-1053. You want to call in? We'll do next right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We don't do it often, but it is time to go to the phones. 877-881-1053. What do you got to get off your mind about the Cowboys, as long as it does not include a swear word?
Don't mess this up or we'll never take calls again.
Wow.
You better be good. You better have a solid point.
Okay.
Or Reggie, hang up on them. As if any three of us just say hang up, you just have to hang up the phone, Reggie.
I'll do my best.
All right, let's go to line one. This is Jonathan in Dallas. All right, good, bad, indifferent. What do you need to get off your mind about the Cowboys?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for taking my call. Just want to talk about Dak, I guess. It seems like to win the Super Bowl, you need one of two things, either a top five quarterback or a quarterback on a rookie or team-friendly deal, and we don't have either of those things. So as much as I love Dak and, you know, what he does for the community and as a person, I don't see us winning Super Bowl with him, and I think we're in purgatory for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years until we can develop a new quarterback or, you know, what have you. And so just kind of hear what y'all have to say about that.
Yeah, appreciate that. And I have a feeling that was somewhat nicer to Dak than I thought. That's what I was worried about, the swearing, is I think they're right. We talked about this before, and we can dive into this more tomorrow, the rest of the week, and however long we want going forward, is Cowboys have Dak under contract for 2 more years at a total of, I believe, $125 million on the cap. And if you think I'm wrong about that, go check it out, because they still owe him $25 million after his contract is up. So I think they will give him an extension to smooth out some of that money. And I think 4 to 5 years, maybe longer, is probably right.
I completely and totally agree with that call. And I do think it's going to be at least 5 years. It's going to take a major injury, like obviously Tony Romo, major back injury for Dak's career to end here. He represents the city well, he represents the Cowboys well, and he wins enough. And that is perfect for Jerry Jones.
Let's go to line three. This is Douglas in Cedar Hill. Douglas, what do you have to get off your mind about the Cowboys?
I don't think us fans see the team as mediocre, but I believe we see our quarterback as that. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Jerry sold us Dak during the offseason, and now we're here where the team fell apart when the backup running back goes down. We have two of the highest paid players in the NFL. What happens? So I think that's our problem there.
I am with you. I think I understand. I will tell you this. I'm not saying that I don't think Dak is a problem. I think Dak is a problem, but I think Dak is a problem in the perspective of, I think it's the same problem that you ran into with Zeke, Gallup, and will probably continue to run into. I fundamentally, to my core, believe that the Dallas Cowboys are poor at negotiating. And that has what led to this spot. Like, you paid Dak $8 million than you had to coming off an injury season. You paid Gallup more than you needed to off of an injury season. You paid Ezekiel Elliott probably about market rate when he still had 2 years under contract and he couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That is my issue, is I agree. Everyone who's complaining about Dak, I agree. Part of the issue is when you're like, well, surround him with better talent, we suck at negotiating, and that's why it's harder to surround him with that talent.
Well, and I mean, when they say Jerry Jones sold us on Dak at the beginning of the year.
He's salesman.
Him and Steven and every other person, Mike, will tell us what's the first quality they say about him.
Leadership.
They don't, and they never go any further than that. I guess Dak did say he can spin it like 85 times with Sean and RJ that right. one morning, but it's always leadership. The team has leadership. DeMarcus Lawrence was your leader yesterday too. DeMarcus Lawrence played a hell of a game. And so you have leadership on that team. You need a guy that can make big time throws in the biggest moments.
Man, I think if we can, we're going to get to more phone calls in 1 second, I promise. I just want to stop on that for a second. That might be my favorite point that's been made all day. Because for people who are Dak defenders, you hear it time and again this morning. Well, if Dak would have played better, we would have won. He's a good quarterback. Awesome. If Tony Romo was more clutch, we would have won the Super Bowl. Like, Corey is spot on. You can't tell me in these big games, well, if he would have played better in this one game, we would have won because he's so good otherwise. I don't care about the otherwise if when it's all on the line, you play like garbage. Mm-hmm.
I think this, I don't know this, it's all a thought, is there's certain people that scare you on a scouting report. And I get quarterback is the most important position by far in the NFL. I just don't really think Dak Prescott on a scouting report makes defensive coordinators fearful. I think obviously Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, I know that he had a bad game, right? And this is where Josh Allen is considered to me way better than Dak. I do think teams go, hey, if this guy gets going, if he gets in a rhythm, and then also the running attack and how big he is, we're in deep, deep trouble. I think teams are like, look, we have multiple ways to F up Dak.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to line number five. This is Dan in McKinney. Dan, what do you need to get off of your mind?
And is your last name Quinn?
Ooh, yeah. Are you going to stay here as your defensive coordinator next year?
So I unfortunately will not be the defensive coordinator next year, but I think that going into today, the Joneses have to be a little excited, right? We're good enough to get to this point, and now all we have to do is figure out Zeke's not the answer. He can't do it without Tony Pollard. Dak may not be the answer. But we have to figure something out. They have to be a little excited to possibly go out and get a new offensive coordinator, potentially a new defensive coordinator if Quinn leaves. But let's get some stuff figured out so that we can go into a game against a team like the 49ers and give us a better shot. Let's put the right pieces together and figure it out. The defense can do it.
Okay. A positivity call.
Wow.
Right there. Let's go to line number two. Is this Polo? Is that right? What's up, man? What do you got to get off your mind?
First of all, let me talk to Mike Bassett for a second. Mike Bassett, you hit the nail on the head when you said between June and August, we're just the coldest team. We're looking forward for the draft, training camp. Everybody looks good. Dude, I'm 45 years old. We ain't won squats since I was a teenager. I do tattoos. People come over my house, get tattoos. You root for the Cowboys? See, people live in Dallas. Dallas Cowboys have nothing to do with Dallas. They train in Frisco and play in Arlington. They don't do anything in Dallas County. So we don't have any home base fight at all, period. It's more San Francisco fans at our stadium than it was at their stadium. Until Jerry Jones opens the roof and let God watch the team and put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor, we're not going to be squat. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. We have horrible coaching. Dude, you need to start wearing your bow ties again and get Wade Wilson back here to be your quarterback coach because our coaching sucks. Why we want to get Sean Payton? The dude ain't did nothing. New Orleans had a good team. We're going to get Sean Payton. Why? We need better coaching, dude. Bye.
Woo!
Love it, Polo. Right. Unfortunately, Wade Wilson's no longer with us.
Yeah.
But I would totally do that. I would totally take that guy back.
Less positivity right there. I understand.
Why am I drawing a blank? He coached at Waxahachie too, didn't he?
John Kitna.
Maybe bringing him back would help out Dak in his turnover situation.
He's got some stuff he's dealing with
I thought that was the case too.
Got to go find ourselves a quarterback guru for sure.
Like he's kind of caught up with stuff going on with his son right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know
situation. No.
Quarterback guru is definitely like number one on the list. And you're not doing that, you're doing Dak and the rest of your team a disservice.
I do think on those two calls, guys, I'm kind of asking a question here. I do think that the Jones family, who have never tried to improve the team after a good season, it's almost like it was always good enough. For 25 years, if they made the playoffs, it's like it's good enough. We're not really going to make any changes. I do think the Cowboys are strongly considering changes today. Stephen Jones isn't joining us right now because I think this guy's, and I wonder this, are they looking at Dak Prescott going, obviously he's our quarterback for the next 5 years. They ain't changing that. We can talk all we want about Dak Prescott.
I think you're right.
He's our quarterback until he physically can't play football anymore. So are they looking at quarterback coach? Are they looking at offensive coordinator? Probably not head coach, but are they looking at two major positions right now going, Dak is failing as a great quarterback. We signed him to be great. He's not great. He's a little above average because he has great moments that you make think, ooh, can he do that all the time? Absolutely not. In 7 years, he's never proven to do it all the time. So I'm wondering, guys, do you think the Cowboys are strongly considering changing possibly quarterback coach and offensive coordinator to try to make Dak what they think he could be?
Yes, and I think that they are. Let's go to line number four. This is Joan. What's on your mind about the Cowboys today that you need to tell us without swearing?
Oh, I'm not going to swear.
Good.
Thank you.
I follow you guys all the time. And I'm actually a Browns fan, but I watch the Cowboys all the time. And I just don't understand all the turnovers on Dak. That's why I have given up on him. Because I watch the Cowboys all the time. And I watch my Browns all the time.
Yeah. But
I don't understand all the interceptions.
I'm with you on that. That seems to be a consensus of the day, which is why I'm curious to see where this goes. I want to go to Don in Capel. Don, are you here to give a defense of Dak Prescott?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
And here's the reason why. A couple little points here. One, we forget about other quarterbacks that are around about the same level as Dak, if not least. Joe Flacco with the Ravens, Nick Foles with the Eagles. And did they win the championship? They did. What we have problem here is the rest of the team didn't show up. Dak can only do so much. Why was Schultz okay with only 27 yards? Or how about Zeke, when you come in after your position battle with Pollard, you only get 25 yards? Gallup, why was you MIA? I think that our other pieces need to also kind of take the blame for why were y'all not there. And then the last point is, yeah, Kellen Moore, something needs to change. You wonder, is it a little bit of jealousy when you were Dak's backup and then you became a coach to form the where you give him horrible play calling? You need to be a little bit more dynamic.
Let me ask you
something very close to Shanahan.
Let me ask you a quick question. Why does Kellen Moore get the blame but not Dak Prescott when he threw the interceptions and the underthrown passes yesterday?
Because of the type of plays that he's calling. He's not calling dynamic plays. He's calling horrible runs on third downs and et cetera when you only have Zeke in there. Like, dude, wake up. Use more of your pieces. Be a little bit, like I hate to say, like Kyle Shanahan. Be more dynamic. Use your pieces to their full advantage. And he doesn't do that.
I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I want to discuss this with you guys
here. Okay.
Kyle Shanahan also didn't call any really dynamic plays for his rookie quarterback to control kind of. He knew at one point, how calm was he late in the game when there was a play, and I forget the exact down and distance, but Shanahan's like, no, don't worry. Looked at him, say, don't snap the ball. I got you. Let's just run the clock down. I'm going to call a timeout. I'm going to come over here. I'm not going to give you anything more than you can handle. I mean, it was a very, for Shanahan, I thought, for the most part, very conservative game plan because he's like, look, I'm dealing with a dude who is a big situation. He hasn't been in many big games, obviously being a rookie quarterback, not playing the whole season. And so I think that Shanahan did a great job there. I think with Dak, they've let the rein. They gave him so much money, they kind of let the reins off, said, Dak, we trust you to do these things. And now you have to go, God, we have to treat him like Brock Purdy. I think to get the most out of Dak Prescott, you have to treat him like a rookie quarterback who you're not sure if he can read defenses, if you're not sure if he can make adjustments at the line of scrimmage, because that's truly who he is. He doesn't see the field well enough.
And that's where I have an issue about splitting off Kellen Moore and Dak. Is like, I'm not a Kellen Moore proponent all of the way, but sometimes I think people are split on, well, it's all Kellen Moore's fault or it's all Dak's fault. Well, maybe some of the more dynamic plays don't get drawn up because you don't think your quarterback can execute them. Don't forget that throw to T.Y. Hilton. Don't forget the underthrow to CeeDee Lamb. He made a great catch. That is 100% a breakaway touchdown on a better thrown ball.
And I get, Corey, Michael Gallup was horrible this year. Just pathetic. Yep. I get. Now, he had a bad knee, but he had a pathetic season this year. That being said, he got 4 yards of separation on the second play after almost the pick six. So the Cowboys get the ball back with approximately 3 minutes to go. And the second play after almost a pick six is a wide open for the NFL standards 30 to 40 yard pass. And Dak didn't even come close to completing that ball. Right when he makes the cut, he has now gotten four yards of separation as the ball should be kind of getting on him. The ball's a hair late, and then the ball's so far behind him, he has to jump up, trying to almost be the defender now, because he's like, this ball is so far offline, I got to jump just to try to get my hand on it so it's not an interception. That's not Michael Gallup's fault. He actually did, for the few times in his career this year, get open, and yet the ball was not even close to being catchable. That's 100% Dak's fault. It's nobody else's fault. Yeah. It's not Michael Gallup deserves credit for maybe breaking up a possible interception, for throwing his body backwards to try to get a hand on the ball so it might not be intercepted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how he connected so many times with CeeDee Lamb, but couldn't find connections with the other guys. And I mean, it is wild to me. I don't know if it's just the way that the plays are called, that it's always CeeDee Lamb first and then everything goes from there, or if there are other things that are set up for those guys to have the most success, but it didn't work.
Let's go to line number 7. We're going to go out to Las Vegas to talk to Damian. What is it about the Cowboys that you need to get off your mind today?
Well, you can go throughout the whole game and find parts in here, parts there where you can, like, critique. But I just think the two most important drives were right before the half ended and the one right after half. I think even if we don't score any points, we don't throw the interception, it's still tied 6-6, and we get the ball first, we have a chance to come out and score. But allowing them to get that 3 points, and Dak is not good on coming back versus teams, it put an illusion to the team, like, all right, now it's going to be a little harder than usual, because it could have been 6-6, but now instead of being 6-6, now it's 9-6. We don't score. We need a fumble to even get 3 points out of that. So I just think the two most important drives of the whole game was right before the half, right after the half.
I agree with that, because, Mike, you were asking earlier about, like, did you think Dak could do it at the end? The drive where I thought they were going to get work done was at the beginning of the third quarter. Is that – at the end of the second quarter, caller was right there, all the way from Las Vegas, is that was a killer. Is you should have been at least tied, if not obviously winning, at the half. And I thought, okay, because I'd even talked to my son about double dipping. You score at the end of the first half, get the ball first, and go. But even then, I was like, okay, you get the ball first, let's do something with it. 6 plays and a punt, get the ball right back to San Francisco. Those possessions hurt a lot.
You know, to your point.
And then I guess you did get the ball right back on the fumble, but then you just kicked a field goal.
I feel like the way I felt about Brock Purdy as that game was progressing, as you got midway through the third quarter, I'm like, he's not going to do much. He got lucky on the Kittle pass, you know, that wasn't that great of a pass. Kittle made an unbelievable play, and we saw the super wuss out of Diggs there to not, break that thing up. But I was feeling the way I felt about Purdy, and I think a lot of Cowboy fans, because I saw Purdy didn't have to throw any touchdowns to win. This is from, I think a 49ers fan, honestly, in our text right now, is Purdy, by the time we got midway through the third quarter, I'm like, I don't think he's going to have this Seattle resurrection that he had in the second half versus Seattle the week before. I don't think he's going to do a whole bunch. If we can keep containing the run, which it did get a little bit iffy in the fourth quarter. Yeah. The Cowboys defense finally broke down and got tired stopping the run. But I thought, man, I bet the 49er fans, the way I'm feeling about Purdy, are feeling the same way about Dak. Like, thank God Dak is the other quarterback. Because if somebody that was actually considered a good quarterback in this league and consistently was somewhat pretty good, let's just say the guys that are left on the other side, if that was healthy Burrow or healthy Mahomes, the 49ers are losing by 2 touchdowns yesterday with whoever we have on our team. If Mahomes had this team, He would have put up 30 points yesterday. If Burrow has this team, he would have put up 30 points yesterday. Dak put up 12.
Yeah. I'm not here to defend the offense today. Maybe CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is trying his darndest, but I'm not here to defend the offense today.
I'm struggling. I'm sorry. I'm struggling still today. I may disagree with you, too.
Oh, that's fine.
On the 4th and 4 at the two-minute warning.
Okay.
Y'all wanted field goal points instead of touchdown points there? Because I've seen people texting. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you disagree. The two-minute warning, 4th and 4, Dak runs for 9 yards. Next play, Tony Pollard gets hurt.
Yeah.
Then Dak throws the interception. Did y'all want touchdown points or y'all want field goal at the 4th and 4?
No. I wanted touchdown for sure.
Okay.
I think the point was you felt assured that you were going to get some points. Uh-huh. I'm with you. We talked about before. This is a game where field goals lose you this game.
Yeah.
And I wanted a touchdown to be sure.
What I hated the most out of that whole series, because I did in my notes, I wrote, this feels enormous. Then I changed my notes to this feels like an enormous moment. Because if you tweet this feels enormous, Kevin, you don't know the replies you're going to get. They're hilarious. But in that moment, I was like, okay. And then the Pollard injury happened. You have a month to draw up a play right there. Kellen Moore they had timeout.
Yeah.
They had all this extra time to go along with it. And they dropped the interception play. And that's where I was like, that moment right there should have been a touchdown for the Cowboys. Swing that around. They get the ball back on the other side of the halftime and they add more points to it and they stretch things away. That didn't happen though. And that play call, that was the play you had for second down.
Yeah.
After all that, we saw what they did in Tampa when they said we don't have a kicker and they score a touchdown with it. You didn't have one of those plays?
No, I'm with you. I'm usually just in the camp of I don't think it's all Dak's fault. I don't think it's all Moore's fault. Like I think it's odd when they're like, well, you have the number one offense and Dak, you can't blame him. Kellen Moore's a bum. I'm like, well, hold on. And it's the same thing. It's like, well, Dak's no good. Well, okay. The scoring has been, I think both of them take blame. And let me tell you this. I see it time and again. I know you've already seen it on social media, Corey. What about a trade? What about a this? What about a that? It is a billion times more likely that Kellen Moore won't be here next year than Dak isn't going to be here, all right? Like, it's not even close. And I will 100% come on here and say that I was wrong if somehow they moved on from Dak Prescott. I would be stunned beyond belief if that happened. It's not going to happen. It would cripple your salary cap. It would torpedo this team probably for a couple of years. And Jerry always says, I don't got time for a bad time. Mm-hmm. That is not going to happen.
Yeah, he just means like I don't want to have people in the organization that disagree with me.
That's why I would get fired.
So I have this
Mike
question.
Likes it?
Yeah, I have this question kind of in Mike Likes It because we're breaking down the game here and I know that probably nothing good was going to happen. What did you guys think of 4th and 10 on the 18-yard line, Dallas's 18-yard line, so you still got to go a long way, about 2:40 left.
Yep.
Because Dak takes, I think it was a sack, but they might have just called it a 0-yard gain because he got back to the line of scrimmage to make it 4th and 10. Do you think at that point, down by 7, the Cowboys should have gone for 4th and 10? If you don't get it, the game's over because they're in field goal range. They kick a field goal, game's over. Or do you think... Like what were your thoughts in the moment when Dak kind of gets sacked there to make it 4th and 10 with about 2:45 left?
I think I'm going for it, or I'm immediately calling a timeout. Like those are the two options. What they did, and then you can punt it after that if that is how you see fit. What they did, I hated the way that it went down because he got sacked. It is registered as a sack, but I hear you. With 2 minutes and 50 seconds left, right? Okay. You decide right then. Timeout. Okay? Stop the clock. You're going to punt. And you punt the ball away. Same basic line of logic is San Francisco now has the ball. You got two more timeouts and the two-minute warning. So if you can stop them in that three-play thing, which obviously they didn't either, is immediately you can get the ball back right at the two-minute warning, and that's enough time. That is enough time. The worst thing that they could have done was hem and haw and stand around and think about it, because then I was worried the two-minute warning would hit before the punt even got fielded. I thought the San Francisco player made an error in fielding that punt. I would have let it hit the ground and see if you could maybe get it to the two-minute warning. But he decided to field it. I would have gone for it. I realized you prolonged the game. You got another shot. I was like, you got the ball. This is your stand for better or worse.
Mike, I will get into that conversation momentarily. I just saw Sean post this on Twitter's.
Sean Payton.
Just from Sean Sharif's Twitters. Just got word that Jerry Jones will not be joining us tomorrow morning to recap the season. Stephen Jones was not on with KNC today.
Yep.
So just kind of.
There's something.
Something
yeah.
feel. It just feels, you know, after all the years of doing this show, and Kevin, after all the years of us. Sorry, Mike, to be in Mike Likes It stealing this moment, but.
Don't
you did it last week to me.
I know. Well, I have a question on that, but I don't want to ask you that yet. Can you please respond to 4th and 10, 2:45 to go, 18-yard line?
Get the kickoff as quickly as possible.
You wanted him to punt just like they did.
Yeah, I want.
I can live with that too.
I don't want. And I think I texted back on this. It's a slow bleed situation. You're giving yourself any glimmer of hope that you possibly can make something happen. If you can get the ball back. I was afraid that they would run it. I didn't like the field position that would put more points on the board for San Francisco if they just had to settle for a field goal and you went for it. So, yes, I would have gone for it or I would have punted as well to try to get the ball back and have some hope of making some sort of play. And granted, I will add this. The last play, if you really watch how it was drawn up and what was supposed to happen, could have gone for some big yards. It looks stupid, but the fact that Turpin got tackled so quickly, they couldn't get the ball back to Dak, which was the goal. In that moment, the ball then was going to go from Dak Prescott to the left side to T.Y. Hilton, who had blockers out in front of him for miles. So that play actually could have been a huge play, but Turpin gets tackled as soon as the ball hits him and game over. So it actually wasn't as stupid of a draw up as it looked in real time.
Okay, now I'm going to get to Sean Sharice. At the time, I was okay with what they did, but you never know. I just didn't think Dak. I mean, look, I was at that point where I think Dak sucks. So I don't think he can pass the ball for 10 yards against that team and get 10 yards. That's how I felt about it. That being said, I did hear Rex Ryan this morning, which makes more sense to me. At 2:50, your guy gets sacked. Immediately call a timeout. Go to the sideline. Discuss it for a minute. Do we have a play that we believe can get 10 or 11 yards here?
Yeah.
If the answer is crap, the way we are playing right now, the answer is no with what defense they're going to show on 4th and 10 versus us. Then you punt, and then hopefully they catch the ball with, let's say, 2:45 to go. Maybe they have to run two plays, or you still have two timeouts, yep. 2-minute warning. So probably running on the punt team, it lost you 30 seconds because they get time to then make their adjustment because you're changing personnel. So he's like, that was the worst thing because you ran 30 seconds off the clock there because to run your punt team on to allow the other team to make their substitutions, you lost 30 seconds with 2 minutes and 45 seconds left in the game.
I agree.
Okay. My next question based off of that tweet, which I had written down. Do you think Kellen Moore is out as offensive coordinator? And that's why Steven is not coming on our show today. And that's why Jerry Jones is not coming on the show tomorrow.
All of like my bones and the instincts, like I was saying, the instincts that I've had over this time is that yes, that's going to happen. I also feel like the Dan Quinn move is imminent. And so they have to kind of make some decisions on the approach for the future there. So there are a lot of feelings that I have about this, but I think that there today specifically, Kevin, it is coaching exit interviews, I believe. So that's going on today for one. And I think there are some very hard and difficult discussions that are are you having that conversation with Mike on the flight, Mike McCarthy on the flight home, where you're like, hey, we have to talk about coaches right now.
Yeah.
Or are you waiting until today to say, hey, here are our thoughts. What are your thoughts? Let's move.
I think today would have been more productive, right? Because I don't know. I don't know if Mike McCarthy gets in that headspace like fire the lot of them. Like right now, let's get rid of all of them. is I take a little bit more time. I'm honestly not sure. The interesting thing about it is I know at least one of those interviews is not going to be rescheduled in terms of being on air with us. So okay. Part of it to me, that's the part that bothers me is like it kind of just feels like some sour grapes is like we lost, so we're not going to talk. I'm fine with the interview getting rescheduled because you're like, you know what? We got crap to do today and we didn't think the season was over. No problem. But if it's not getting rescheduled, you damn sure better believe they would have been on if they would have won.
So I have this right. Doug Gusmeier is the quarterback's coach.
Nussmeier.
He was the tight ends coach and then promoted to quarterback's coach. That sounds like you don't have a quarterback's coach.
What do you mean? Is that not a natural?
No, that's what the Joneses would do. We got four former quarterbacks in there, you know.
So Nussmeier's more of a quarterback's coach than a tight ends coach. What the hell was he doing? I don't know. Like sometimes I think, like, hey, Mike Bassick, former pitching coach, becomes the hitting coach or becomes the defensive shortstop coach. Like, what the hell are you doing hiring Mike Bassick as the shortstop coach? Or what the hell are you doing hiring Mike Bassick as the hitting coordinator? Yeah. Like, that sounds like a dumbass decision. Maybe part of Dak Prescott, who I think is limited in how good he can be. I don't think he'll ever be great. Maybe you can get him back to being good and stop turning over the ball. But Doug Nussmeier, who I'm not sure he might be a great coach, right? I hate doing this because like I'm talking about a person who like losing a job when I say fire him. But dude, maybe go get a better quarterbacks coach that can help out Dak because this guy ain't doing it.
Well, and that's Mike. Okay, so on the board of things, so how many people we have having this conversation? You have Jerry, you have Steven, you have Will, and then maybe Mike McCarthy you bring in for this conversation too. But I think those three are the first ones. They sit in that room and they look up at the board and they say, Sean Payton, Mike McCarthy, da-da-da. How many of these coaches can we replace? How quickly can we replace them? How much is it going to cost me? I think that's the thing that Jerry's navigating today and trying to figure out what to keep around on the staff. And then, Kevin, I know it's wild because they haven't even reached out to Sean Payton at all this season.
Yeah.
That's fact. So in that world, do they even have that on the board is the other question. But I think there are a lot of things on the board they got to figure out first.
I would never trade my first round pick for Sean Payton, ever.
I agree. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, it has been a spirited day. Coming up next, I believe that will continue because it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors and a special guest.
Yeah, Isaiah Stanback joins us next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.